Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
What's up, perverts? Are you hungry for blood? Well, then you're in luck. Welcome to Blood of the Wild, where we are playing through Paizo's Quest for the Frozen Flame Adventure Path 4, Pathfinder 2E. We are currently playing through Book 1, which is by Ron and Stephanie Lundeen. And with me, I have my cast. They are strong. They are mighty. That's their right. Hearts beat like a herd of mammoths. It's Paula Deming, Joe O'Brien, Mary Lou, and Skidmore, everybody.
Yeah.
Ow. Howling to the moon.
Yeah. Loving it.
Now, I love your howls.
Great.
I'm just going to share this. Do you have something you do when you like beat people at like a game? Because my dad would play board games with us growing up, and then when he would win, which he often won because we were children and he was a full-grown adult
man. Sure, yeah.
So he would play us in Risk, and he would win, and then he would cock-a-doodle-doo like a rooster.
Oh, no.
He would go, yes, exactly.
Like that?
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that like Tom Sawyer?
Peter Pan.
It's Peter Pan.
Oh, Peter Pan. There mm-hmm. we go. I was thinking of a different young little scoundrel.
Yes.
Wow. My dad was not
I've
Peter Pan.
I've got a crow.
He was a really competitive guy who loved like really rubbing it in the nose of small children that he had beat them at a board game.
That's good.
Yeah, so. No, I don't have one of those. I don't have a crow. I do love the classic clasping hands and shaking them over each shoulder.
Sure.
This move.
Yeah.
What is it? Does that have a name?
I always call that huzzah for some
huzzah?
Reason. I
don't know. I think it's a real classic. Makes me feel really good. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah.
So that's that. If I had one, it would be that. But
I usually say something like "get wrecked," you know.
Yeah.
So just in their
and
faces,
flip the board and all of the meat rolls all over the
exactly.
floor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I say, then you loser cleans up, and then I leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the best thing to do is just take your gun, firearm, sidearm, whatever you have, and just start firing wildly into the air.
Into the air, yes.
That's
a good one, too.
Yeehaw! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's especially fun indoors.
Yes. Better indoors because you get more kind of effect from it.
Right, yeah. right.
You get the more echo, like you get the bits of ceiling falling down.
Mm-hmm. The ear damage. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
ear all damage. In one.
You get the people on the second floor going, ow, hey, watch out.
Yeah, you could really hurt someone. So there's a lot of
and that's what makes it especially fun.
A lot of risk reward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I usually just apologize. I'm a very sheepish winner.
For winning?
Yeah, because I am very, this is board game related specifically, just because I hate losing at board games so much. And I know that feeling. It's just a horrible feeling. And it is nowhere near the thrill. I don't even get a thrill for winning the game. I just get a little bit of happiness for not losing the game. Like, that is
back
that
to baseline.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's whatchamacallit.
Survived another day.
This. I'll tell you something.
It's Moneyball. Moneyball has that line from Sorkin wrote, I don't know if it's in the book, but yeah, where he's like, I hate losing. I hate it more than I even want to win. And there's a difference. And that's like exactly where I find myself. So knowing that feeling, when I finish and I win, I'm just like, I'm sorry, I'll clean up. I know how
I'll
you must
say,
feel.
As someone who loses a lot, I don't want to be apologized to after someone else wins. You know, I want to be like, I don't want to be like, my gameplay was so pathetic. You think that you need to apologize to me for beating me like that? No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
You'd rather a rooster sound?
I'd rather everyone go, cool, that was fun. Good game.
Well,
good
obviously,
game.
Dealing in extremes here.
I'd like the apology. I would appreciate an apology.
I appreciate an apology.
Yeah.
You owe me.
I'm so sorry that I humiliated you so badly with my epic win over you.
When I win a game, I'll generally say something, and now disrobe is what I'll say.
And now, per our agreement,
I always play nudity rules.
Yeah, okay.
Whether I play strip Monopoly, Cranium, Settlers of Catan, cranium. It doesn't matter.
Cranium.
I will say, celebrating in a sports victory, I'm always a big fan of the classic hockey, like sliding along the ice on one knee while
pumping
sideways.
Your fist. Yeah. Yes.
I'm a big, lateral
fist
pumper.
That is a good
pumper.
One. Yeah, that's a good one.
Love that.
Speaking of ice.
Oh, boy. Oh,
that seg, John.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
The world of Sonic the Hedgehog has been thrust into a not-so-dark, not-so-stormy, hard-boiled detective story that probably nobody saw coming. Follow Sonic and the Intrepid Chaotix Detective Agency as they take on their biggest case yet. This high-flying, action-packed adventure will take them across the world, fighting for every clue they can find. It's one heck of a tale, which is good. Because this story might be the only thing that can save their lives.
Well, if that's all, I can just dispose of you.
Wait, what?
All will be revealed in Sonic the Hedgehog presents The Chaotix Case Files. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Chaotix are on the case.
The other lords say our days are numbered, our following dwindles, enemies dog our footsteps, and we have failed in our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless northern night. They are mistaken. We are strong. Broken, but strong. Our hearts beat, and it is like the sound of a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. And in each heart flows the blood of the wild. And I'll just add...
Yes.
honestly, oh, I need to make good. This my new like morning affirmation. I just listen to that every day and I'm gonna be like, fuck yeah, I can take on this day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get you so honestly, fired up.
Yeah. I feel like we deserve a crow, a cock-a-doodle-doo each for beating that freaking Kelpie, bro.
We do. Yeah.
That was a tough enemy.
It was.
If I could take you to my campaign notes, I'm terrible at note-taking, and I'm trying to use Blood of the Wild as like my refocus and recenter and try to actually take good notes. And so at the end of episode 118, I have the note, we find the Kelpie in the lake. Olog challenges it to combat. It attacks. That's the end of the notes for 118.
Yeah, we were busy.
The sum total of the notes for episode 119 is, we beat the shit out of that Kelpie.
I don't know. I don't know if I would describe it as beating the shit out of it. I mean,
history's written by the winners.
It got it.
That's right. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah, fuck the Kelpie. I heard the Kelpie. I think I remember the Kelpie like cried.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Shit all over itself. Yeah, it shit itself.
Yeah.
Begged
at
for
one
its
point,
life.
It did over 20 points of damage to one of you. So
I don't remember that.
I actually would hardly call that beating the shit out of it, but okay.
Well, speaking of all of these things, last session, Yelka wanted to just gather up and keep a little bit of the seaweed and kelp that was left over from the Kelpie. And AWOL expressed some concern that carrying a bit of it around might cause it to come back alive again. So with some of this seaweed in front of her, in her hand, and with this bag of stuff, this bag of loot that's been found, while everyone else is talking about things, Yelka would like to start out this session by just detecting magic. Is there anything magical about the seaweed, but also is there anything magical in what AWOL has pulled out of the underwater cave? So she's going to spend a few minutes just seeing what pings on her radar.
Multi-purpose detect magic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with.
So I'll get a little flash and 30 feet emanation of just anything.
So the things in AWOL's bag, in addition to this seaweed, is that right?
Things where I'm focusing my detection on.
Well, mm-hmm. Yelka thinks back and she thinks about how this group of scouts has been traveling across the plains of the realm of the Mammoth Lords, mm-hmm. running from the burning mammoths to try to get to Red Cat Cave, and Gleaming Sun Lake is where they had to stop with their following for 24 hours to take a rest, and they had to clear it of this Kelpie, which they learned about from a halfling that had been taken as a slave, Harbinna Farwander.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Harbinna
Yelka's
led
remembering
them here,
all these things.
And upon destroying the Kelpie, they did discover the Kelpie's burrow and a lost explorer's corpse inside. And that is why these objects are in a bag that AWOL is holding. He found the items that the explorer was carrying on him. And so you use your detect magic and you see that the lakeweed, the muck that came off of the Kelpie's corpse is no longer magical.
Wonderful.
But you are definitely getting magical emanations from the objects in the bag.
After just running through that lovely, well-integrated recap in her brain there, sorry for jumping the gun. I was a little excited about figuring out what had been found.
Yeah. Treasure.
So I didn't let Jared do his recap. Yelka will say, may I take a closer look at all of the things in that bag?
Sure.
And he passes it over.
And she'll just
Is it magic?
I think something is, yes. And she'll
pour
it all out.
And he pumps his fist laterally sideways and goes down to one knee.
And Raga's going, all right. And she's clasping both hands over each shoulder.
Next he's firing his bow wildly into the air.
Oh, Yelka, do your touching ghost past object thing.
Okay. Just there's lots to do here. So Yelka will just like spread all of the items out of the bag so she can see which ones or one is pinging with magic, so that then she can spend time identifying the magic on whatever is showing, like, giving her a little glow.
Okay. So she's going to identify the magic on these items.
Yes.
All right. What? So as I mentioned, mm-hmm. there is a stone that seems to have like an indentation in it, like something can be like kind of locked into it. There's another stone with a rune upon it. There is a pendant that is made out of natural materials, but in the center is sort of an alabaster figure that creates sort of an effigy of a winged person. And there is a bottle of some sort of liquid that isn't quite full liquid. It sticks to the bottle just a little bit.
Does the alabaster effigy, does it remind me at all of the alabaster? Wasn't that, or was that onyx? Was that alabaster, the little...
I mean, is it a representation of Sister Cinder?
The obelisk? The obelisk was obsidian.
Obsidian.
Which is black.
Okay, thank you.
And alabaster is white.
White.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Okay, so that answers that question. So I'll focus first on the figure, and I'll use a nature... Identify magic using nature, I think, because you said it's like naturally made, and I'll see if that...
I said that there were some natural items. Yes, I did.
I'm going to use this heavy, hard to read metal die. And we'll see what happens. 13 plus 6, that's 19.
Nice.
You would be familiar. You're pretty sure your knowledge of nature should give you some idea as to whether this thing has a primal magical origin, and you are sure that it actually does not. Even though I described natural parts of it, I probably shouldn't have even done that. The important part is the alabaster figure in the center.
I mean, I see no problem with that, Jared. It can be naturally, you know, crafted and made and still have divine magic that's infused into it.
You know? Yes, thank you, Joe.
So it would be religion, which AWOL's untrained in.
I am.
Well, I could.
I say, hand that pendant to me. I have a +7 in religion.
She says, give it to me. And Baba goes,
it's all right.
Give her the idol. That's slightly better than my religion, which is a +6. So I'll happily hand it over.
Well, you both have a chance, though. That's the nice thing.
Okay, well, that wasn't
so I'll
too
hand
good.
That 16. Over.
16.
16. Is a success if you're using religion.
All right.
And you realize that this is a crying angel pendant.
What?
I'm sorry. Do I'm not crying, even.
A crying angel is you. A crying angel pendant is worn by people who are trained in medicine. And in fact, you must be trained in medicine in order to use the crying angel pendant as a free action. When you critically fail to administer first aid, you instead simply fail.
Oh, to administer first that's aid. Cool.
Very nice.
That sounds very, just very interesting to me.
I bet it does.
Are you trained in medicine, though?
I'm not trained in medicine, but I do have the ability to use nature instead of medicine for all of my healing. So does that apply even in this kind of a situation?
I push my glasses up my nose.
I think this is going to be a no.
And I say no to you. You must be trained in medicine according to the R.A. motherfucking W.
Well, none of us are trained in medicine, right? And never will be.
I am.
Oh, you are. I thought you took the natural thing, too.
No.
Yeah, okay. I remember Olag. Yeah, you're trained in medicine.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Battle medicine. I will take the angel, if it is all right.
I think it will look lovely on you.
This yes,
tiny
just...
white winged angel pendant on this giant green warrior man.
I love it.
I think it looks quite nice.
I'll take the bottle of liquid and I'll actually hand that over to AWOL and say, AWOL, you know more about crafting things, right? Do you know? Maybe you can identify what this liquid is?
Is it magic? Is the liquid emanating magic?
Did all the items in the bag seem magical?
All of the items emanated magic.
Mm.
Yeah, so he'll shake it. Be like, I don't know. It's not a dye. It's not a natural juice. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a concoction of some kind.
A potion. Maybe there's something natural about it. I make potions that, like, healing.
Oh, yeah, you know, I guess I could.
Nature.
Yeah, I guess I can identify magic nature, I guess.
Try that.
Yeah, I'll try it. Well, she handed it to me. I was like, I've never seen anything quite like this. That's a 16.
A 16. So this particular item doesn't actually list what it's, you know, it doesn't have a keyword that says what magic it corresponds to.
Tradition, what magical tradition it comes from.
It has it does have a magical tradition. Oh, no, not a tradition, like occult, divine, arcane. It does not have that. So it does have a school of magic that it belongs to. So I'm going to say
that's usually arcane if it's a school of magic.
That's what I think. That okay, thank you for confirming that and for beating the rules there by figuring that out on your own. your nature role does nothing. You're sure that it is not something created from nature.
Mm. Yeah. Never seen anything like it.
Not of this world.
Hmm. Well, maybe someone back with the falling will be able to take a look at it and figure it out for us. Well,
we could just drink it, see what it does.
No.
I shall drink it.
I don't think you should do that. No.
Angel protects me.
No. Boys. Boys, stop.
No, wait.
Hold her hand up.
Harbina walks forward.
Oh.
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 I forgot
and
we
Harbina,
had
a name. Oh, wait. Harbina looking at Harbina's skills now. Harbina
is very brave. She's very confident.
Yeah. She's like, no, I don't know.
She tried to fight a kelpie with a branch.
So. Brave bordering on stupid.
Yeah. No. A little delusional, but I like her.
Well, Yelka, I think about... Look, yeah, go ahead, Yelka.
I say, Yelka will look at the stone with the rune on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little... Do you think... She wants to try and figure this out. And because she knows more about the occult than she does about arcane, she's going to think, I wonder if maybe this is something with that. And so she's going to identify magic on this using occultism.
Okay.
Ooh.
In the hopes that maybe the rune is like that, because she doesn't know. She certainly doesn't know. That's a 6 total, so she has no freaking idea what this is.
Yeah.
Oh, that was on the stone rune?
Stone with the rune.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, hero point.
Yeah?
No, not
hero
really.
Point?
Maybe? I just said the words hero point. I wasn't implying anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I can, you know what? I'll roll on it. Why not? I'll roll nature. Like, it could be. It could be a primal runic stone.
I don't know
stone.
What
primal
this
rune?
Is.
I'll see if it's a primal rune. Let's see. Ooh, that's a 22.
Ooh.
A 22. You are sure that this has nothing to do with nature.
Cool. He'll just toss it into the lake.
No!
Worthless.
I can throw it. Nine times.
Watch how far I can throw. How many skips?
Imagine you guys who have been part of this following out on the plains for your entire natural lives are just kind of like looking at this stuff and banging it against rocks and biting it.
We're like the monkeys in space, 2001 Space 2001, Odyssey.
Yeah. Right.
The files are in the computer.
In the computer?
They're in
that is
the
when computer. You hear a mammoth call over the hill.
Oh. Mary Lou is the best.
Oh, God. That wasn't me. That
Wall's
was a mammoth.
Head snaps to the side, and he looks up the hill.
The following.
Yeah, you see your friends. You see people you recognize from the following of the Broken Tusk way up, coming over the horizon.
Oh,
Father, we need to check on him, and maybe someone in the following can determine what all of these things are. And we'll just push it all back into the bag and mm-hmm. and push it all back at AWOL and stand up like she wants to run toward the following, but she realizes maybe she shouldn't do that. So she just has all this excited energy standing there.
Well, I might just take one more look. I just... One more look.
And he's okay. going to dive back into the burrow one more time because he left rather hastily. So he just wants to scour the area, see if there was anything else other than this bag that could be of value, any weapons left behind or anything else.
I'm going to let you roll the perception check.
Okay, thank you. That is going to be a 16.
You are fairly certain you have found everything of note inside of this burrow.
Okay. Then he's going to bring the... He'll take the corpse. He's going to take the corpse and pull it out, like, into the lake.
Skellington?
Skellington, yes.
Yes.
He'll bring it out into the lake, and I think we had talked before about the... You know, their traditions of letting the earth reclaim the bodies. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll just stuff like some rocks into the clothing of the skeleton and just sort of push it out and sink it out a little bit deeper into the lake so that it can be like fish food, basically. Because up in that burrow, like nothing was really going to naturally get to it except maybe some bugs. So he's going to push it out and say, well, we'll take care of your items. We'll find out what they do.
By the time you have done that, Letsua has arrived and says, gather more rocks, AWOL.
Yeah.
AWOL
why?
Has passed.
Oh, grandfather.
Oh, no.
What about...
No.
What about my father?
Your father still lives. Yelka, look for him in the back of the march.
Yelka will just take off.
Yelka, wait! I run off right behind her.
Very good. The broken tusk begin to come up over the hill down toward the lake. Letsua looks at you, AWOL, and says, you warned us of a kelpie.
Yes, we've defeated it. If there was just one, it is no more. We fought it on the river, on the lakeside. We were not taken by its charms because we knew it was coming, and easily enough we dispatched of it. But he can see that AWOL is like still. Actually, no, he's not. He's healed, so he's fine. He doesn't see any injuries. But he does say that, you know, it was a fight and we took some damage, but that Yelka and Raga brought us back to health, and that it seems to be destroyed, and the lake should be safe now.
Our path has remained clear, AWOL.
Yes.
Good work. He puts his hand on your shoulder.
Thank you. Thank you.
And he smiles a little bit, but then the memory of AWOL kind of hits him again, and then he gets sad again.
And Letsua, this is our friend. This is our... Binna Farwander, she led us here and she fought very bravely against the Kelpie. We were thinking perhaps she could travel with us if she wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, if you'll allow it, I'd love to walk with you to see more of this land. It's filled with magic. I think it would be exciting. It may be more exciting than you had planned for, halfling. We still know that the burning mammoth is dogging our heels. At times, we have seen their fires behind us to the west. The following can't go much farther without stopping for 24 hours. But I'm worried. I'm worried the Burning Mammoth will not stop, or they will use this time to get ahead of us somehow and plan an ambush. But we have no choice. We must stop. And so I'm going to order the others to make camp. You can see that his jet black eyes, you normally Letsua doesn't betray a lot of emotion, but you can see that he is worried. His eyes are a little wider than they normally are, and his long ears are kind of flickering a little bit, twitching a little bit, and he starts ordering your allies to start making camp.
Is he now the leader of the following? By default, I mean, I know there's like a council, right? But is he sort of now going to be a replacement sort of for Grandfather Awa?
He does not. Are you asking him or are you asking me?
No, I'm just curious about like following politics that we would have grown up with. Like, how does it work?
He's part of the council. This is not a monarchy. This is not even a group that has a chieftain. Awa was the eldest, so people gave his words a little more weight. But Letsua is not the leader.
Okay, but what about the leader who became the leader of the house now that
Falcon
Pecano,
House?
Yeah, now that Pecano.
Falcon House currently has no leader.
Okay, wow. That was sort of my question then. Okay. Then I shall challenge their best fighter to single combat and see if I can take over Falcon House.
Like, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
A Kellid man made of bristling muscle steps out onto the lake shore.
All right. Awal will say, I understand, and yes, we'll help make camp however we can, and perhaps look, the rest is well needed, and we'll just be up as quickly as possible and on our way again to try to stay ahead of them. If you'd like, I'll scout and try to work a perimeter around the camp to see if any burning mammoths try to pass us in the night.
Don't go far. I would like to be here at dusk when we will bid farewell to Awa.
Right. And he goes on his way, and I think he just forgets that this, like, pouches around his neck, you know, with all this like important stuff in it. But he's just worried about the following. So he's going to jump on horse. We ride horses? I don't remember.
You do not ride horses. I suppose someone might have a horse, but you don't.
Right. And we don't ride mammoths, right?
So, yes, like, you do.
We do. Okay, I thought that you had to be a mammoth lord.
Oh, you said we, and not as the following, not the royal we, but you
like
specifically.
The scouts.
No, yeah. You do not have your own mammoth.
Okay, all right. Then in that case, he's just going to try to find some higher ground near the camp and sort of stake out, and he's going to be vigilant about looking for any sign of the burning mammoth trying to come near or pass by us, even a small party.
Okay, as you go and try to do that, I'm going to shift the focus to Yelka and Olog. Yelka and Olog, you get to the back of the train behind the, you know, 70-some or so members of the Broken Tusk following, and in the back, you see a very hairy, small individual dragging on sort of like big snowshoe-type, like, carry.
Shaggy.
What do you call it? Yeah, it's Shaggy, and he is dragging your father and three other individuals.
Shaggy.
Oh, Shaggy.
He's so strong.
Shaggy. How are you? Do you need a rest? You're almost there. You're almost at a stopping point. What, you're dragging three?
Yes. It is the least I can do for my friends, who have given me family and a purpose.
Yelka will throw her arms around Shaggy and just give him a hug. She's so just overcome with gratitude that her father has not been left behind.
So, you have found her. That is why you embrace me.
Who? Oh, you're Raven? Like, no.
My love, found her!
No. No, Shaggy, we haven't. I was just thanking you for helping me.
But we'll keep looking for her. We'll definitely keep looking for her. Definitely.
She's out there somewhere.
Yes, of course.
Watch the skies.
Yes, always. We're always eyes on the skies, you know?
Your father has not awakened.
Okay. And then Yelka will just detach herself from Shaggy and go over to where her father is. Does he seem, does Grodom seem worse or the same?
Many days have passed, and Grodom seems a bit more wan. He is a little paler.
He can't eat, right? It's not like they have an IV hooked up to him.
No. Nocta, the healer, walks forward.
Nocta, what do we do? He's not better.
I have used all my healing magics. Grodom is somewhere between this world and the next. It would take a blessing from Sister Cinder herself to bring him back.
Olog pulls out the angel and he says, "Will this help?"
Nocta takes the angel into their palm, looks at it.
"I'm afraid not. But it will guide you if you ever have to use medicine in an emergency."
And Olog is fighting back tears as he takes it back.
"I have very bad news. Unless...
what?
Unless that blessing from Sister Cinder comes, we must say goodbye to your father here. These... Letsua has said that they're slowing us down too much. Our brothers and sisters here, they're closer to death than life."
I understand. We'll take him now. Olog, will you? Let's take Father somewhere.
Yes.
And Yelka, Olog, if you will take the litter that he's on.
Yeah, I relieve Shaggy of his burden and I take it up myself.
I don't know, let's find a place. Maybe we can spend some time together.
Yes.
And maybe there's a spot that Yelka had noticed before they encountered the Kelpie that was particularly pretty or had a nice view of the lake or something that they could like go to.
You do so. You take your father's comatose body to that bluff that overlooks the lake, and the sun is starting to lower itself into the sky and the water is taking on a beautiful orange hue as it does so. And I will ask Raga. Raga, what do you do with the hours preceding dusk before it is time to bid farewell to Ewa?
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Malouf in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
Look, there are a lot of celebrity interview podcasts out there, but there's only one Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz, and yeah, I'm the host of the show, so I'm a little biased, but truly, Happy, Sad, Confused is the place for nerdy and intimate conversations with all your favorite actors and filmmakers. From Andrew Garfield and Scarlett Johansson to Christopher Nolan. Casting what ifs, backstage stories, and much more. Listen to Happy, Sad, Confused on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Well, Raga and Baba are used to being alone. They were in the woods together, just the two of them, for a few months before they found the following, after their mother died. And even amongst the following, you know, people have been friendly and very welcoming, but have kept their distance. It's a big old bear and a very weird lady. So they have comfortably found a corner to themselves. And Raga is whittling, one of her hobbies. She's found a nice chunk of wood, and she's whittling maybe the kelpie from a heavy branch that she found. And she's thinking to herself about how things could go differently next time. She felt so impotent and so helpless on the top of that bluff. She's very proud of Baba, but wanted to be stronger and smarter next time. But she remembered how she tried to research the name of the kelpie but failed, and thinks maybe with more time it could have gone differently. So she's thinking about the future, and she's thinking about Red Cat Cave. And she's going to start researching through communion with nature, the true name of Siarstik, the guardian of the primordial flame, which is a saber-toothed tiger spirit. So I do not anticipate that this action will conclude in just this one evening, but she's starting the process of, like, every night when she beds down, she's going to spend some time meditating and communing with nature to try and research the true name of Siarstik.
So you realize as you begin your meditations that this will require a fire.
A fire. Ooh. Okay. All right. So then off in their little corner, Raga starts to prepare a fire.
And soon, I'm not going to make you roll for that. Soon you have a nice little fire going. The yellow and orange ends of it lick the air. It crackles, and you have to look into the fire to discern Siarstik's true name.
I see the embers start to melt, the wood being slowly consumed by the encroaching, burning edges. See the sparks dance in the smoke. And the flame starts to writhe in certain patterns. And the flames crackle in certain sounds, perhaps syllables. Phonemes start to repeat themselves. Not super clear, not just yet. But she's starting to sense a pattern, or at least a direction towards a pattern, as she gazes and feels like she's melting into the flame.
Very good. Why don't you give me a nature roll?
Ooh. Come on.
That is a nat 20 plus 7.
Yes. Oh,
amazing.
So
nat 20 plus 7.
We're a little outside the scope of the adventure path as written, but that's sure. Okay. I'm going to say that that does not automatically give you
no
CR Stick's true name, but what it does do is give you 2 points toward a true name, just like when you did the wrestling challenge or the activities that you had to kind of earn enough points to prepare the following to leave. You have 2 of the necessary points to learn CR Stick's true
That's
name.
That's so cool.
This
That's
is awesome. Cool. This is cool. Okay. I'm gonna try and remember to do this every single night before we meet. Before
yes.
we get to Red Cat Cave.
Okay.
Siostic's true name.
That's so awesome.
So I'm going to leave Raga and Baba there for the moment, and I'm going to go back to AWOL. AWOL, you are kind of scouting the perimeter, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just nervous. He could see that Letsuo was nervous, so he is trying to do his level best to put his mind at ease by saying there's no sign of the broken tusk, or I'm sorry, of the burning mammoth gaining on us specifically, even though we know technically they are, but like there's no sign of it being imminent danger or that any party slipped past our scouting parties.
Okay. What role would you like to use to kind of scout the perimeter?
Perception.
Very good. I'm going to let you roll it.
Okay. That is a 19.
Ooh. A 19. You do not notice anything off on the horizon that indicates the movement or the presence of the burning mammoths.
Okay. It's good to know they're definitely not there.
But you do spot someone coming from the direction of the lake. Someone squat, moving quite slowly.
Huh.
You recognize...
Is it Murthig?
It's Murthig.
Aww.
You can tell from his silhouette. He's coming toward me?
Yes.
Okay. AWOL will approach him. And... sorry, go ahead.
I thought I'd find you out here.
Well, I just wanted to keep an eye out lest the Burning Mammoth try to send a party up to ambush us. Murthig, I've been thinking a lot up here by myself, and I just wanted to say I'm sorry.
For what, Grandfather, lad?
About Grandfather Awar. I know you were close. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Your words mean a lot. Tonight we will say farewell, and he will move on into the next world.
Yeah, he's nervous to even mention it to him because Murthig is like a tough customer. You know, he doesn't really let a whole lot of emotion out, and he knows he's probably sad about Grandfather AWOL, but would never show it or talk about it, so he just wanted to say that to him.
You need to rest too.
I'm fine. I'm fine. And he's clearly exhausted.
Come back down with me. Eat. Rest.
Okay. And he looks back over his shoulder one more time and then descends the hill to head back to camp.
Something's different about you.
What's that? And he like grabs at his hair. It's like, it got wet. I mean, some of the color might have come out, but...
No, that's not it. Something's changed. What happened to you out there?
You leveled up.
I leveled up.
Whereas once you were one, now you seem two. Something.
I cannot. You're going to describe it.
Difficult to explain.
Your modifiers are larger.
Your body seems slightly harder to hit in combat.
He'll say, we've encountered a great many dangers, and we've needed to do some things that were unpleasant to say the least. But I feel as if Sister Cinder is on our side, for lack of a better way to say it. Well, don't tell everyone, but Yelka fell and was dying, like really dying. And Olog, he was so fueled with some battle rage that he didn't help her. And Raga and I were trying, but we don't know what to do. And then I saw her. I saw Sister Cinder. She came over Yelka's body and saved her. And I just felt something stir within me. I always knew she was there, and I was always told she's protecting us. I'd never seen it before, you know? Or felt it inside.
And you saw this when Yelka fell?
I don't say anything to Yelka. She's very upset about it.
This happens for a reason. You're connected to Yelka in some way. This vision that you had, this blessing that you have, somehow, I believe you can help Yelka.
Well, if I can, I will. She's been very helpful to us. And Olog, too. I never knew he could fight like that. He's terrifying.
There's something important you're meant to do with this vision of Sister Cinder, this blessing that she's given you. Come, let us eat.
Right.
And he follows.
Very good. Harbina approaches Raga. And does Raga share any of that feeling of impotence that she had, that feeling of helplessness that she had?
Absolutely. Raga's an open book. She says to Harbina, "Harbina, you are very useless against the Kelpie. So was I."
Tell me about it.
I felt like I did no damage at all. I'm very lucky to have my Baba, my baby brother. She like ruffles his ears and he's like,
"I could be
more
useful."
He's not listening. He's like chewing on a bone or something.
I could for sure be more use if I had a crossbow or something.
Yes, I think you would be much more useful if you had a crossbow. I wish I knew where to find one.
Something. Do your people have weapons so I can arm myself?
Oh, I think very much so. We have weapons around. I mean, here, look at my spear. And she shows Harbina her spear that she's carved with these designs and figures, and there's a feather tied in leather around her spear that has an obsidian blade for a tip. I made this myself. Perhaps I could make you something. I can't make a crossbow, but there are people here in the following that are craftsmen. We have many very talented people here. They could make you something, definitely.
Very good. Do you want to lead her to one of those people? And you would have to trade with those people in order to equip her. Or you could try a crafting roll to make her something.
I am not going to do that. for no reason other than I have a +0 at crafting. So yeah, I'm going to lead her to one of our craftsmen, and I'll leave Baba in our little lean-to that we create, our little nest of furs and blankets. I'll leave him gnawing on his moose bone or whatever he's got.
You can see that he's already getting sleepy.
Yeah,
when
he's
you do
a sleepy
that.
Boy.
He worked hard today.
Yeah, he worked really hard. He killed a Kelpie. I give him a, yeah. I give him a really big kiss on the head, and then I leave with Harbina.
So, if you have gold, I'm going to say that gold in your inventory, because when you create a character, they are given a certain amount of gold. You guys probably found some things that were worth GP. Mm-hmm. What those things actually are trade goods in the language of our particular adventure path. Mm-hmm. So, jewels work, you know, valuable stones.
We also found gold.
You we also found gold on the trader's
gold
ship.
Pieces.
Okay, yeah. Straight up gold pieces work as well.
They, but I see what you're saying. Like, the only thing we can do with those is really trade them. Along with goods to,
So,
not like we have shops or anything like that.
Yeah. Harbina tells you that she's pretty good with a dagger. She can use a staff, and she loves a crossbow if you can find one of those.
Yeah, I'm going to try and...
My dagger's
is she like a wizard? We should find out if she's...
Yeah, what is her deal?
I want to try and find her a crossbow, because we would love, I think, some more ranged attacks in our little party here. So I'm going to see if anybody has seen a crossbow or has a crossbow or knows how to make one or has like collected
I'm
going to
make a
one.
Flat check for that.
Okay.
It's actually might be kind of tough. Like that is a somewhat advanced ranged weapon for like our setting.
Yeah. But I feel like maybe somebody would have collected one along the way.
Sure.
If they found
you could have
one,
found it on a dead adventurer.
One,
right?
Brought one in it. With them when they joined for outsiders who have joined the
right. Maybe they're
the following.
Maybe they're a southerner.
I rolled a flat check, and I decided on a fairly high DC for the chance that there would be a crossbow among the following, and I rolled very high. So there is a crossbow.
Wow.
Hey.
That's cool.
Yeah. One of the main traders of the following has a lot of, specializes in a lot of items that come from outside the following or even outside the realm of the Mammoth Lords. And so hanging on sort of like a skein where he hangs up his items is an old battered crossbow.
Oh, well, look at that. How
amazing.
Lucky for us. Excuse me, sir. Pardon me. I do not know your name. Yes, that is me.
It is good to lay eyes upon you again, Bear Daughter.
Thank you. And your name?
Let me bring up the Kellid name generator.
Thank you very much, sir.
I love that this exists.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Just give me 10 minutes. Okay.
No problem.
Here we go.
Sir,
this is Jorgo.
Jorgo.
Jorgo. Great name.
Jorgo. Yeah. Wonderful to see you again. We were wondering, do you have use for this crossbow you have hanging on your pack? My friend here, Harbina, she is very good with a crossbow, and we were thinking that perhaps she could take use of it to better help the following. Of course, we will compensate you as much as you need.
Well, I'll tell you what. You're the tip of the spear. I'll give you a discount.
Thank you, Jorgo.
Let's see here. This is a crossbow. It's normally worth... Oh, it's normally worth 3 gold. I'll give it to you for 2.
Well, I have 2 gold. I have 2 gold. And you may have it now. I have no need of it. It is heavy and strange.
And useless in a fight.
Yeah. I cannot eat it, and Baba does not like it. So, here, please, have my 2 gold.
They say there's a settlement to the east. Since we're leaving our route and going back to the old route, perhaps I'll be able to meet some traders from outside the realm of the Mammoth Lords. Then this gold will come in handy, and I'll make the following very rich. And useful items.
We love useful items. And we do not love gold, so I trust you, Jorgo. You've always had the best heart, the best interests of the following at heart.
Sometimes I think I'm the only one of the broken tusks that loves gold, and he bites it.
and he throws it into a basket.
Wonderful. Here, Harvina, this crossbow, it is yours now.
Now I can help you in a fight.
Oh, that is the greatest gift.
Fighting from range behind cover is sort of my specialty.
Oh, because you are very small and weak. I respect that.
Letsua walks up and says, Raga.
Yes.
It is time.
Oh. Part and me so was hoping yeah. it would not come. But it must. As the sun sets every day, it must also rise.
He leads you back to the edge of the lake where they have created a little boat that they are going to use to push Awa out into the water, and then it will sink, just as you did with the corpse of the explorer. And Letsua takes a position on a little hill where he can see all the members of the Falling who are all lined up. And tell me where your characters are. I know that Yelka and Olog were kind of on a hill with their father. Okay. And you're looking down on this funeral. It's a funeral. And Awol, where are you in Murthig?
I think Awol would be there to kind of assist Murthig if he has any duties as the firekeeper. I don't know if they... do they just push the boat out into the lake, or do they...
Fire arrows at it!
Burn it while it's out in the middle. Do they just push it off? Does Murthig have any particular duties in this burial?
He must go and stand with the other mammoth lords.
Okay, and I'm probably not allowed there. So I'll just be nearby, but I want to be down as close to the action as possible. He wants to be right there without being inappropriate.
Letsua calls everybody to attention, and he says, the leader of Falcon House, Grandfather Awa, has passed on into the next hunting ground. Weepa will help us say farewell. And Weepa walks up onto the little hillock, and you can see that Weepa is no longer pregnant. In fact, she is holding with her triplets.
Wow.
That's right.
Oh, right.
One is like on a sack on her back, on like a little carrier, and she has one in each hand. And she says, we have come to say farewell to Awa, but we will also say hello. I believe a new day is dawning for the Banner of the Broken Tusk. And so, my son will be named Awa.
Oh. Oh.
And the Broken Tusk members all cheer, and then she holds up, and my daughter will take Awa's mother's name, Sidki. And they cheer again. And my other daughter shall be named Weepa as well, for I must now take my birth mother name, Weepa Koa. And so Awa has not left us. He will walk with us into the east. His love and his wisdom will travel on with us as long as we walk the realm of the Mammoth Lords. And the entire Following cheers.
While this is happening, the whole time Yelka has just been gripping her father's hand. The whole time watching this.
And I'm standing behind Yelka with my hands on her shoulders.
Joe, what is Awol's religion skill?
He is untrained, sadly. I believe it is a 2.
Okay.
Based on his inherent wisdom, yeah, it is a 2+2.
If it matters, Raga's is +7.
Yelka is also trained in.
Must be nice.
Yelka, what is your religion bonus?
Damn it.
It's a +6.
I passed over.
Okay. Yelka, the sun starts to go down in the west, and for a moment, AWOL is, I believe the word is limned, L-I-M-N, limned, in sort of a aura of golden, burning sunlight.
Wow. Do you see? Well, look, do you see that? Look at AWOL. He's glowing.
The broken tusks have pushed Awa's body out into the lake. Yes, go ahead, Yelka.
Do I get a sense that it's related to... This is related to Sister Cinder? Have you just seen it? Do I? Yeah. And I know that we were told that Father needs the intervention of Sister Cinder. Stay here, Olag. Stay with Father. And Yelka will, in the most socially appropriate way possible, run down off this.
You're actually pushing people out of the way. Like,
get out of my way!
In the middle of a funeral, yeah.
Get out of our way!
To AWOL.
You have reached him, but people are like, why have you disrupted the funeral? They're looking at you, and they have fearful looks on their face. They are afraid of you, even in the best of times.
Oh, yeah.
And now you are interrupting AWA's funeral?
I will grab AWOL's hand and say, I need you to come with me. And tug him back through up to...
And he'll stumble along after her.
Letsua says, Yelka, what is the meaning of this?
I think AWOL can help my father. And I think that, isn't that a way to honor Grandfather AWOL as well? As one life passes, another could return. Please.
He takes a step back and nods.
Thank you. Thank you, Letsua. And thank you to Grandfather AWOL. AWOL, come with me. And we'll just pull him up to the bluff where...
What are you talking about?
Like as we're going up the hill.
I see Sister Cinder around you. I see it. I can tell. I don't know why, but there is something about you. You know, I saw her when I saw my father when I was dying. And I see her on you now. And Nocta said, we need the help of Sister Cinder for my father. And I think you have her with you. So please come and help us.
Raga
Don't let
sees,
him pass away the way Grandfather AWOL is.
Raga sees her friends, you know, convening on this bluff and hurries to join them.
AWOL, you stand before the inert body of Gronum. He looks very skeletal, in fact. He looks incredibly pale. His cheeks have sunken in a bit. He looks like he's on death's door.
Please, AWOL, do something. And Yelka will take AWOL's hands and put them on her father's chest.
And
then step back and grab Olag's hand.
I'll try, Yelka. I don't know. If it's not like as if it's a wound, is it? It's not as if it just closes up. I don't know, but maybe she does.
She's with you. She's with you.
You can do it, AWOL. And I'm going to lay my hands on AWOL. My hands don't have magical powers, but they're the hands of a friend.
And seeing this, Yelka, with one hand on Olag, put one hand on AWOL and say, AWOL, she's with you, and you can do this, and we'll cast guidance, if I can, outside of combat, on AWOL.
And as AWOL, as you cast guidance into him, he just closes his eyes. And I think as an artist, he's always trying to... He's got a wild imagination. And he always tries to recreate things that he thinks or feels and have them be something you can see or touch, but he's very young and not always good at it, but he has this overwhelming need to constantly express himself in that way. Mm-hmm. And he was so taken with Yelka's description of the place between that she visited, and they made a monument out of it. Mm-hmm. And so as he closes his eyes, as her guidance infuses into him, he just pictures that place as much as he can from her description and from the artwork that they made. And he tries to imagine Sister Cinder standing next to Gronum in this space with this other person. We never identified like the third form.
It was Pharasma.
Oh, it was Pharasma. You're right. Yeah. We did identify that. And he's going to imagine himself there and imagine that he somehow is holding an audience, that he is, that Gronum is being like walked by, what do they call Pharasma? I don't remember. There's a name for her in this.
She's the Arbiter.
That's the Arbiter. Is it? Yeah. So basically he witnesses Gronum just being like escorted by the Arbiter, like away from the fires, and Sister Cinder just like standing there as, you know, unreachable and deific as possible. He's not saying anything out loud, but in his mind, he's just imagining himself stopping the Arbiter from walking away with Gronum, you know, and saying like, wait, 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 and pleading with Sister Cinder that Gronum has work undone. And Gronum even looks like peaceful walking away, but he doesn't realize that Yelka needs him. Yelka needs him. And he knows from what Murthig said that he could help Yelka. And if he helps Gronum, he helps Yelka. And it's all like connecting together in this one moment. And he lays on hands, basically. He tries to lay on hands.
Lay on hands works automatically, I believe. When you lay your hands onto Gronum, you actually feel as if you were laying, you are grabbing the shoulder of the Arbiter and turning her around. And you are looking, it should be a woman's face, but you are looking into a black void. But then you see Gronum standing beside her. Gronum looks at you, a little unsure, and then he looks past you. Do you wish to turn?
Yeah.
See what he's looking at?
Follows his eyes.
Sister Cinder is there. Her hair aflame. Her skin of ash. And she smiles at him. And she nods. Gronum leaves the side of the Arbiter. And walks past you, AWOL. Walks past Sister Cinder into the light. You hear a voice whispering in your ears, AWOL. The voice of the Arbiter. I will remember this, blessed one.
Just got chills.
And then suddenly, you're back on that hilltop, looking over Gleaming Sun Lake, touching your hand against Gronum's torso, and your hair. Those of you looking at AWOL see that his hair has changed color.
What?
What?
What? What is it?
His eyes have changed color.
What?
What?
And you only have a moment to take this in before you hear.
Father.
Yelka?
Yelka? Yelka? Grabs AWOL's face and kisses him right on the mouth, and you get a shock right through.
His
You're
eyes
listening,
go wide.
Yeah. Pushes him out of the way and grabs Olag and right over to Gronum and just throws herself onto her father. Father, Father, we're here. You're okay. We have so much to tell you. You're okay. Are you okay?
He puts his arms around you weakly. He can barely hold them up. And he takes you in an embrace. And he says, I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of all of you. He looks at Olag. He looks over to AWOL and Raga.
I'm back.
Oh.
You're back.
Welcome home.
We've been thinking of you the whole time. I've been thinking of everything you would tell me to do the whole time.
Olag is resting his head in the palm of his hand, like looking down at him.
Is there any water?
We have an entire lake.
Of course. Raga goes to run and grab anything that she can think might be helpful. Food, water, cloth, furs, clothes.
Letsua and Nocta approach. And Murthic. And Argakoa. The Mammoth Lords are all standing around. They look at each other with wide eyes. And then they look at the four of you. And that's where we'll end for today.
What an ending!
Wow.
Oh, you saved him, Ewan!
Oh, my God!
Back from the dead.
Chosen one.
The chosen one!
Returns our father from the bone.
I will remember this blessed one.
Phrasma!
The judge of souls.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.